Hello and welcome to episode number 273 of the FitCast. I'm Kevin Larrabee and I'm very happy to again be joined by Nia Shanks of NiaShanks.com. Lift like a girl. Nia, what's up? I mean, I'm looking at you right now. See, we're doing the video call, so it's like, this is like weird. Like, I did this with Dan John. I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, and we're like actually talking to each other.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on again. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, again, it's unfortunately one of the things that I'm working on with the future of the show is providing some kind of like video alternative. So that's why we're messing around with it a little bit and trying to see what kind of the bandwidth and what kind of audio issues could stem from it. But we're here to talk to Nia, so we're going to talk about that stuff. The other thing I want to quickly mention is that I do have interviews coming up with Tom Venuto. He's got a new book coming out that we're going to be having him on very soon. It is October, and it's going to be the first couple weeks of October that we're going to be doing that stuff. So if you have questions for him, send them to questions@thefitcast.com. Go to the contact page up on that main website. And also, again, continue thank you to everyone out there for submitting donations to the through the website for the podcast, who again kind of keep things going and showing your support that way. I was very happy to see that those are coming in, so I could again, I had an advertiser emailing me again today, like trying to have us advertise like HGH supplements and all this other crap, which I guess is on a competing podcast, but that's not how we're gonna role. Like I said, if we can power it by the fans, I'd like to continue to do that. So again, if you enjoy the show, if you could go to thefitcast.com and make a donation through there, whether it's a dollar or whatever, every little bit helps. So again, thank you for everyone out there. But Nia, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. Obviously, the first thing that I want to point people towards at your website is that you've done a great job with these tutorials that you have just right on the front of the website that people should really just kind of go check that out. I mean, you might want to pause the podcast, go check that out, read that stuff, and then come back. But you have a couple great tutorials, Train to Be an Awesome Guide, Simple Fat Loss, Beautiful Badass 101, and Beginner Strength Training 101, required reading for people out there. And other than that, you've been just really banging out the blog posts and doing a great job with the articles on there. And we're going to start off talking about one of the recent ones you just did. So we got a question in from Jennifer. And Jennifer, I'm going to do my best to kind of paraphrase this. And it's great because it goes right off a blog post that Nia just did about binge eating. But Nia, I would wonder if you could just talk a little bit about this subject. And, you know, for people that, you know, may be struggling with this, and also like some of the signs that people could look for to you know, maybe help them realize like, yeah, maybe if I'm like, I'm calling it a cheat day, but I'm eating from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. constantly until I'm full, is that a problem? So could you talk a little bit about that? And also, you know, some of the tips to get off that, recurring pattern.
Yeah, to me, something in the past, I mean, kind of a lot of my experience, well, it has been from experience that I write a lot of those articles and those tips is because, many, many years ago, I didn't have a problem with eating or binge eating or anything. And, you know, different things can lead people towards binge eating. I'll just speak from what led me to my experience with binge eating. And then a lot of people I've spoken to over the past several years. And it was really just a lot of trying different diets, and then especially things that had me restricting, you know, certain types of foods or macronutrients or whatever. It was really that restriction mindset, or that, you know, oh, don't eat this or don't eat too much of this, that really led me to the binge eating. Because during those periods of time, you know, I was just saying, I can't eat this, or I better not eat this, or I better limit that. And it was really that restriction and avoidance mindset that once I finally did get around those foods or allow myself to have those, you know, those forbidden foods or whatever, then I'd binge on them because I was like, well, crap, I wasn't supposed to eat that. You know, I wasn't supposed to eat a cookie. Well, screw it. Now I'm going to eat the whole damn box of cookies. You know what I mean? It was that I screwed up. I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, what the hell kind of mindset. So in my experience, it's a lot of these kind of restriction or even elimination diets that for some people, not everybody, you know, I mean, some people do fine with this stuff, but for, you know, my personality, is not suited to those types of, you know, that restriction or elimination attitude, to where, you know, that's all I end up thinking about are the foods I'm not supposed to have, the foods that are forbidden. And then when I finally get around them, it just, you know, no holds barred, I'd binge on them. And I still remember the very first time that ever happened, that I actually had a binge eating episode. It scared the crap out of me, quite frankly, because I mean, it was terrifying knowing that I had that ability to just kind of have a, I don't know, I mean, kind of just blanked out and just ate and ate and ate. And it was really quite terrifying. So basically, if people don't have a problem with binge eating and they don't ever want to have a problem with binge eating, my advice is really just to keep your nutrition simple. Don't set these really strict, rigid guidelines, because, you know, like I said, just from personal experience, that's a leeway into going towards binge eating, because you can only follow these perfect, rigid rules for so long before something's going to break. I mean, you know, your willpower is going to give at some point, and you're going to be likely to binge on something that you've been restricting or avoiding for a period of time.
So if, you know, again, someone is kind of struggling with this, what are some tips to, again, get off that pattern of, you know, constantly, you know, going through some binge eating patterns?
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I do have an article I just posted that has 20 tips that I use personally back when I was struggling with binge eating, that I definitely recommend people check that out. But like I said, the biggest thing for me is really just keeping things simple and striving for consistency with some simple guidelines, instead of striving for perfection with some, you know, perfect, crazy diet or whatever. So I encourage people really just look at the big picture and ask yourself, you know, what are the most important nutrition guidelines I need to follow that are going to get me to where I want to be? And generally, it's just focusing on some basics first and really just nailing down those basic principles, you know, eating real foods, eating when you're hungry, allowing yourself to enjoy your favorite foods, you know, when you really want them. It's about getting rid of that avoidance mindset. And it's really just about, you know, taking it a day at a time, and also being able to look at the big picture. And I tell people, you know, eating one perfect meal, or even one day of eating perfectly, whatever that means, it's not going to make you wake up and be drastically leaner the next day. And you need to have that same perspective. You know, you can enjoy some of your favorite meals or treats or whatever on occasion, and that one meal is not going to completely undo your progress. And I think it's really important that we have that mindset, you know, about just being consistent on the simple things. And, you know, granted, being having more leeway and just following simple guidelines and not being super uptight and strict about how you eat, yeah, it may make fat loss results come a little slower, or other changes you want come a little slower. But, you know, when you're doing things simply and keeping it stress-free, and you're just, you know, consistent with those basic guidelines, yeah, your results may come slower, but you're going to be able to maintain those results long-term. You know, you could follow a crazy, rigid diet and get, you know, super fast results. But, you know, that's the problem with a lot of those really strict diets, is that, yeah, they may produce quick results, but they're so restrictive that, for one, that can lead to binge eating. And two, the results that you get from such a, you know, drastic method, you're most likely going to gain all that weight back and then some afterwards. So, you know, that's really just my general perspective, is to strive for consistency with some simple, stress-free guidelines that you know that you can sustain long-term. Because if you're following simple guidelines that you can maintain long-term, well, then you're looking at this from a lifestyle approach. And that lifestyle approach is what's really going to help you get the results you want and keep them long-term. And hopefully it's going to keep you from falling into obsessive or even binge eating habits.
So it's like just kind of creating those, you know, stronger and stronger, you know, patterns and tendencies. Just, man, I have a problem talking today. Maybe it's just because I just destroyed that 36 kilogram kettlebell with some get ups. I don't know. I think I'm still recovering from that. But you know, again, I think it's just a super interesting topic, because it's something that is not necessarily always brought up. You know, people always talk about, you know, all right, I want to lose fat. What's the program I got to do to, you know, lose this body fat? And then people never think about the crazy restrictions that are put on them. But when you talk about, you know, just kind of when you want them having the foods that you want, you know, what kind of limitations do you put on that? Because, you know, again, I think, you know, some people might almost use it as a, I really want Oreos today, so I'm going to go buy some Oreos and have a bag of Oreos. Like, you know, what are the limits and what are kind of the boundaries with that?
Well, for sure. I mean, like I said, I tell people eat the foods you really want when you really, really want them. And yeah, you can't just justify it every morning. Like you said, oh, I want some Oreos. I really want them and eat them every freaking day. Like I said, it comes down to a couple things, and something I tell people, no matter what you're eating, whether it's, you know, real whole foods or whatever, you need to make sure you're enjoying what you're eating. I'm not one of those people that subscribes to that food is just fuel mindset. I think that's crap. I think food should be enjoyed. I think you should enjoy everything you eat, whether it's your breakfast or lunch or your dinner. So that's something I encourage people to do. Make sure you're enjoying the foods that you eat, because there's so many amazing foods out there. You know, there's plenty of quote healthy foods out there I don't like, so I don't eat them, you know, but there are plenty of foods that are good for me that I do like. So those are the ones that I eat. So I think for one, if you're actually enjoying everything you're eating, hopefully you're not going to be craving, you know, things like Oreos or whatever all the time. And it's really just trying to find that balance of, you know, real whole foods that you enjoy, making meals that you really look forward to, and, you know, trying to fill yourself up with those really good things that give you energy and sustain you. And then really just trying to become in tune with, you know, are you really craving that food? Do you really want it? Or is it just, you know, you're just bored or another emotion or whatever? And something I try to tell people, you know, I understand a lot of these tips that I give can sound easier than they actually are. And I tell people, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like you can just turn off those binge eating habits or even, you know, this diet mentality. You can't really turn it off overnight. You know, we don't develop binge eating habits or obsessive eating habits overnight, and we can't expect to just break free from them overnight either. But it's really just about being consistent and really trying to, you know, I tell people, try to make just one small change at a time. Because if you're really just trying to, I mean, whether you're trying to get over obsessive eating habits, or even if you're trying to, you know, adopt healthier habits and build a better body, lose fat or whatever, it really comes down to making just one change at a time. And like I said, this is so different from the way most people do, because it's easy to get in this mindset that we have to go all in and we have to do everything perfect. And we have to have this hardcore mindset of, I'm going to strength train multiple times per week. I'm going to eat perfect. You know, people think that that's the attitude and the mindset they have to have if they want to be successful. And I really think that we need to get away from this perfection, this hardcore attitude, and just really think sustainable, simple habits. I mean, I think it's not very popular because it's not sexy. You can't put a pretty bow on make one simple change and stick with it. No way. That doesn't sound exciting. People don't want to think, oh yeah, one simple gradual change at a time with slow results. It's not, I guess it doesn't have that appealing of, you know, yeah, you can lose 5 pounds in a week. But I think I got off the original question.
No, I mean, I think it all has to do with the same topic. And the word that I was somehow blanking on was building stronger habits and reinforcing those habits and stuff like that. And, you know, again, the way that I've always kind of thought about it is that you just got to make them, you know, every single day they become more and more habitual, and then they become harder to break once you build them back up. But let's continue. We might come back to this actually in a little bit, but let's talk about, again, just motivation for people that keep falling off the habits of proper strength training and nutrition and stuff like that. We get a question from Kinza. It's more of a psychological question than a strict technical question. I've tried to lose fat so many times now. Now I'm afraid of failure because I always gain all the weight back. How do I find the motivation to pick myself back up and trudge forward?
Well, so we can tackle that one from a lot of different angles, but for one, I'm going to assume that she's done. I mean, like a lot of people that have come to me before, you know, they've tried these crazy fitness regimens, you know, where they're working out almost every day. And like I said, the reason they usually end up they say they fail. I say they don't fail. I say that the program they followed failed because so many of them are just unrealistic to where, you know, they're doing such crazy workouts on a near daily basis and following all these strict nutrition rules to where, yeah, like I said, at some point something's going to give. Either they can't maintain that workout schedule or, you know, the nutrition is just so strict. My advice to her would be, you know, look at what you've already done before and don't repeat those habits because clearly, you know, they lead to, you know, going back to your old habits. You know, you're following some guidelines that just can't be sustained long term. So I would say take a completely new and different approach and don't look for a diet to be a solution or something and really look at how can you make this journey enjoyable? How can you make it something that you can sustain long term? Because, you know, ask yourself what you're getting ready to do, what you're getting ready to try, whether it's with your nutrition or working out. Can you sustain that a year from now? Can you see yourself doing that every week for the next year? And if the answer is no, well, then you know, do something completely different. And I would really try to tackle this from a sustainable lifestyle approach. What kind of habits do you know you can maintain long term? Is it realistic for you to, let's say, strength train 3 days a week? Do you know you can do that? Good. That's something we're going to put on your list. We're going to look at this from an action standpoint, not just an outcome standpoint. So you can put that on your action list. 3 strength training workouts a week. I know I can do that. That fits into my schedule. Perfect. Great. So let's now look at it from a nutrition standpoint. What kind of simple guidelines can you follow that you know you can sustain that are going to be, you know, not very stressful? Don't look at it from a diet. Don't look at all these do's and don'ts. Eat this, don't eat that. You know, strip it down to some basics and start there. And, you know, I have a lot of people that I first start working with distance coaching or whatever. And we really do just try everything from the simplest standpoint first. You know, I'll say, you know, we're going to try to have you just focus on eating real food 90% of the time. And then the other 10%, you got some leeway there. Whatever foods you really love and enjoy, then have it, you know, that 10% of the time. Other than that, I just tell them, you know, listen to your body. Are you hungry when you wake up? If you're hungry, eat. If you're not, wait until you're hungry. And then really listen to your body and, you know, eat until you're satisfied, but not overly stuffed. And really try to come into, to really get back in tune with those innate cues that you have about hunger and fullness. And a lot of people say, well, that sounds too simple. And my response is, well, yeah, it's supposed to be simple. And I say, you know, let's at least just try these simple guidelines for 4 to 6 weeks and let's track your results. Let's see what happens, not just with your body, but mentally. Do you find that you're, you know, a lot less stressed? And so that's the standpoint that I like to begin from. Keep it super simple and let's just see what happens over the next 6 weeks when you follow those really simple guidelines. And if you see that, yeah, things are moving in a good direction and you're getting results, well, then stick with it. You know, I would rather exhaust really super simple guidelines first before starting to add in all these other do's and don'ts. So for her, that would be my advice. You know, look at this from a lifestyle standpoint. Make sure that the process is enhancing your life. Make sure it's something that you know you can maintain long term. And then look at it from an action standpoint. What actions can you take that are going to get you there? And especially when it comes to your strength training workouts, you know, so often there people's thoughts are fueled by, I need to burn calories, I need to lose weight. And that's what they're thinking about when they go to the gym. I would say ditch that mindset and look at your workouts as an opportunity to build yourself up, as an opportunity for you to become stronger, to become more awesome, as a, you know, a challenge to see what your body is able to do and make that the focus of your strength training workouts. Like I said, I really just threw a ton of crap in there. But it's really just about shifting your mindset, keeping it simple, finding a way to make the process enjoyable, to making it a part of lifestyle habits that you know you can sustain. Like I said, if at any point you're stressed out, then you need to stop, reevaluate, and try to make the whole process simpler.
I think you made fantastic points. And that's something that I've, you know, always come up against with clients and even myself, like in college and stuff like that, you know, saying, all right, I mean, it always, for guys at least, it always came from, you know, the bodybuilding side of things. Like, all right, I'm cutting right now, so I'm going to cut as much weight as I possibly can in the next 4 weeks or something like that. And I think the best point that you made is going into the gym and just focusing not just on, this is a fat loss session. Maybe it's a session to, you know, get stronger. I'm going to get stronger, you know, because that just carries over to everything else more than just you know, I'm going to go in and burn 500 calories for the next hour. That's why it always, like, it always weirds me out when people, like, with Facebook and stuff and Twitter, people take pictures of their heart rate monitor and say, I just burned 800 calories. I'm like, that's awesome, dude. Like, I don't know what that's necessarily going to do for you, but anyways, so let's continue to move forward on my terrible ability to not talk today. Let's go to great question about deadlifting. And again, I think this is very applicable to men and for women. This is a great question from Shona. I hope I got that name correct. I'd love to hear more about Nia's journey with deadlifts, tips for progressions and assistance exercises that she has found that have helped her deadlift. I struggle with thoracic mobility. Any tips to improve this, et cetera? Thanks so much.
When it comes to deadlifting, I would say one of the important things is how you program your strength training. I mean, when I have beginners start out, you know, I'll have them deadlift once a week, because, you know, they can easily keep adding weight and they can get stronger so quickly. But for most of my intermediate plus trainees, we actually start to decrease the frequency of training because they're using so much heavier weights that, you know, I'll move from maybe every 7 days to maybe every 10 days. And some people this actually works really, really well with. Some people, they actually do better with a slightly higher frequency. I would just say that's something that you should play with. You know, look at your programming. How often are you deadlifting? Because if you see that your numbers aren't going up, you may want to try to, you know, instead of deadlifting every 7 days, try every 10. As far as assistance lifts go, you really need to look at your, you know, where is your weakest portion of the deadlift? Like, for example, with me, if I can get the bar off the floor, I'm going to lock out the weight. So, you know, I'm weak off the floor. Some people, they can get it off the floor, but they can't get it past their knees. So, you know, if you have trouble breaking the weight off the floor, well, then you want to build your strength off the floor. And some great ways to do that I like to do are, if you can do them safely, deficit deadlifts. And you don't need a big deficit, even just something like 2 inches. If you train that'll really help you get stronger off the floor. Something else I like to do are like pause squats. Goblet squats are great for this. All you do is just, you know, do your goblet squats, but hold the bottom position for a solid 2 seconds, like squat down, stay down there for a solid 2 seconds and explode back up. And those are some great exercises that can really help build your strength off the floor if that's your weak link. If your weak link is, you know, if you can't always get it past your knees, well, then I'd really start including things like some hip thrusts and Romanian deadlifts and some exercises that really build up your glutes and your hamstrings. So it's really just identifying where your weaknesses are and then targeting them directly. And also playing with your programming. And you may also want to, something else that works great is just simply switching to a different deadlift variation for a training phase. I mean, if you've been doing nothing but conventional deadlifts for months after months after months, you could really benefit with including a training phase of either like trap bar deadlifts or some rack pulls and really just get a lot stronger with those over the next training phase. So those are a few things you can play with: the frequency, using some different variations, and then identifying where you struggle, whether it's off the floor or getting it past your knees, and then using the appropriate assistance exercises to really build it up from there.
How do you like to program in the assistance work? Like, there's so many things these days. Like, obviously we have, you know, single leg variations. We have barbell hip lifts. We have pull throughs, things like that. Do you like to put like kind of one hip dominant assistance exercise in each day? Like, for example, we're, you know, for something like her where she's doing a 3-day program, would you like to throw something like that in every day where there is like a pretty good hip dominant assistance exercise in?
Yeah, if she's trained 3 days a week, I would assume she'd be doing total body workouts. And so, yeah, I would just sprinkle in those assistance lifts each day. You know, like I said, depending on her where she's weak or whatever, maybe you can easily put in, you know, the paused goblet squats. You can do some single leg hip thrusts or barbell hip thrusts to really get your glutes stronger. Romanian deadlifts. Yeah, you can easily put those in, you know, into the workout for sure. And if you really want to, I like to tell people, I mean, you know, if your goal is, and I have a client right now that her goal was to get a stronger deadlift, and that's what we focused on primarily with that training phase. So all of the assistance exercises and all of the workouts themselves were actually built around getting a stronger deadlift. So we weren't having her squat real heavy. you know, we weren't doing things that would tax her too much unless they were going to help her build a stronger deadlift. So, and she was doing 3 total body workouts a week. And so every day we had some, either the deadlift itself or those assistance exercises to really boost her deadlift. And I said, if you want to get stronger, then make sure you make that the focus of your program. Don't be trying to get a bigger squat and a bigger bench press and a bigger this and a bigger that at the same time. Make sure that you build your program around getting a stronger deadlift and that nothing else is taking away from it.
I always thought there's only 2 sorts of programs for benching, programs for deadlifting. And I think those are the most fun. But anyways, I want to throw a little bit of a curveball in because, talking all this talk about programming and stuff like that, it's always like the inevitable question that you get when people come up to you, I'm sure, and saying, Nia, what do you do? Like, what do you do? What's your programming look like right now? Because we were talking before we started recording about, you know, being the internet, people are always like, they kind of look up to, you know, people and they want to train like you and they want that same sort of look. So, what's your training look like in general or right now?
I haven't talked about how I've been training in a while. Past couple months I've been, and I'll explain after I state it, I've been training on a pretty much almost everyday basis. Unless my body's telling me, hey, you need a day off, I'll take a day off. But the reason I do that, one, I spend most of my day sitting down. So I like to get up and go do something. 2, I have a home gym. I go out in my garage and my gym's right there. 3, but 90%+ of my training right now is body weight exercises. So they're not too stressful. I can recover from them quickly. I've also built up to this. I didn't just all of a sudden start training every day. I actually built up to this. First it was just every other day. And then I started doing something, every day. And also I have to mention, of course, my workouts are pretty brief. They take maybe half an hour. I mean, yesterday I did, what did I do yesterday? I did dips, chin-ups, push-ups, and face pulls. All body weight exercises took me maybe 25 minutes. And today I'll do lower body. I think I'm going to do some rear foot elevated split squats and some back extensions. So my workouts are pretty brief. And they're by far mostly body weight just because it's something I'm really enjoying right now. I'm challenging myself with some new variations. And like I said, it's easy for me to do because I have a home gym. And like I said, I always tell people, definitely do whatever you enjoy. And if you like training every day or every other day, that's fine. Just make sure you set up your program to where you can do that safely and to where you can keep progressing.
All right. So everyone, we covered that. Don't have to send that in for the next time we have Neon, but that's really cool because I think that's something that I found is just like doing something every day, whether it's jumping on the Airdyne bike or, again, that's why I just dropped another $300 on kettlebells because I go into the facility in the afternoon, but I like to train in the morning. Like I hate like having to wait to train and stuff like that. I feel like it just gets me on a better rhythm. Unfortunately this morning I can't talk after training, but I think that is just, it's nice that you can do it again if your body holds up doing it. And I loved how you put that when you said, you built yourself up to it. You didn't just like someone out there who's been, hasn't been training. You shouldn't just start lifting 6 days a week or, doing some kind of strength and conditioning 6 days a week. Definitely build up to it, but, that's super cool. I hope to, get an update on that. I'm going to personally ask for an update on that down the road and see kind of like how you change that up because that is kind of how I'm leaning these days as well.
Yeah. And like you said, it's definitely, and that's the problem with so many people when they start a workout program, they actually start training on a practically everyday basis. And then they wonder why they run down so quick. I mean, like I said, and I've been in training for a long time and I've gradually built up my, at first my training volume wasn't very much during those daily workouts because I wanted to do things correctly and smart and just slowly build up my training volume, which right now it's actually, even my daily workouts, it's fairly high, but I move, pretty quick and stuff. But like I said, I'm having fun with it. And thankfully I've been training long enough to where I know how to listen to my body and I'm in tune with it enough to where if I'm not having a great day, I don't push it. And, I'm to that point where I know how to pay attention to the signals my body gives me. And if I'm having a great day, I'll kick it in high gear. If I'm not, I'll scale it back.
Have you, on that note, Have you messed with any of the heart rate variability stuff? Like that seems to be the new thing that people are talking about with Joel Jamison, and like Mike Boyle has been getting big into that as well, to kind of have just like, not even to say like, you know, how am I feeling today, but literally to have like an app on your phone say, hey, maybe you should not go all out today. Maybe you should just kind of like do some, you know, mobility work and call it. Have you messed with any of that stuff, or, you know?
Personally, no. Like I said, I'm pretty much to the point where I can go out there and during my warm up, I can tell if it's a good day or if my body says, hey, I need a break. Mm-hmm. I'm a minimalist. I don't use a lot of the other tools. Some people love them and benefit from them, and that's awesome. Like I said, always do what works for you. But for me, that would just give me kind of something else I would focus on in a not so good way. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, for sure.
Different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. All right. So we got some other cool stuff to talk about. And one of the things that you mentioned that I kind of thought would be really interesting to talk about was the concept of focusing on actions instead of end goals. And we hit on that a little bit before with some of the other stuff that we were talking about. Was, you know, can you elaborate on that and just kind of like talk a little bit more about that concept?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and like I said, a lot of stuff stems from personal experience, and I want to make sure people understand that. There were plenty of times where I would have a goal and I'd be like, you know, whether it was a performance goal, like I want a triple bodyweight deadlift, or at a period of time in my life when I wanted to lose some extra body fat, saying, I need to lose extra fat. I need to lose extra fat. I want to lose extra fat, to where, you know, we can get just stuck on the end goal itself. That's all we think about. Well, something that I've found helpful for myself, me with my, even with my clients, is to not just think about the end goal and instead ask yourself, you know, what actions can I take that I can track that are going to get me to that goal? And for, you know, example, if you want to lose fat, I would just, instead of just thinking I need to lose 10 pounds of fat, let's just look at the actions that are going to get you there. And then, you know, that way you can put it on a calendar or whatever, and you can just scratch those off as you do them. So let's say you want to, you know, lose some weight. And, you know, you can strength train 3 days a week. Well, that's one of your action goals, just strength train 3 days a week. And then other than that, we can say, you know, a little extra movement is always a good thing. Maybe you can schedule for a couple of, you know, morning walks a few days a week, or preferably, you know, getting active in a fun way that you enjoy. So that could be your action goals for a week: 3 strength training workouts, and then 2 days of, you know, really fun activity, whether it's, you know, playing a pickup sport with your friends or going hiking or whatever. Those are your action goals. And you can apply that the same way with nutrition. And, you know, I like to tell people, look at it from a perspective of not what should you eat less of, but look at the foods that you should eat more of. Think in the mindset of addition instead of restriction, and just make it a goal to maybe try new foods or new cooking techniques or try a new recipe, and make that an action goal that you actually look forward to. And the same thing, you know, you can look at it from a performance standpoint. If you want to get stronger, what actions can you take to get stronger? And, you know, it's really looking at what needs to be done that's going to get you closer to the goals themselves.
You know, again, kind of on that same subject, and I switched my headphones because I think being able to hear myself talk will help me actually speak. But anyways, another thing that you also kind of brought up when we were going back and forth through emails was talking about, you know, when you go into the gym, you know, focusing on performance and not necessarily just fatigue, and just kind of keeping tabs on that a little bit better. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you kind of gauge that?
Yeah, well, one of the things is, and I mean, gosh, you see it, all these crazy workouts are just all the rage right now, to where it's all about, you know, how tired can you get? How hard can you go? And how much sweat can you leave on the floor? And how close can you get to vomiting, but not really vomiting? I mean, that just seems to be the mindset of so many of these programs right now, is how tired can you get? It's all about just chasing fatigue. And I think that's just, in all honesty, I think that's just a horrible mindset. I think the focus needs to be on building yourself up and improving, not how, you know, not beating yourself up and getting as tired as possible. And, you know, some people think I'm a little crazy when they start working with me or reading my articles and putting my advice into place. And I say, you know, most of the time you need to finish your workouts more energized. And Lee Peel, actually, she even, I read one of her posts on Facebook the other day, you know, and she made that same observation. You know, you should leave the gym most times, you know, not all the times, But you should leave the gym after a workout ready to take on the world. You should feel better when you leave than when you went in. And some people like, well, that's just crazy, because then if I'm not tired, I didn't have a good workout, you know. And I'll have some people that they'll take that advice to heart and finally try it. And after several weeks or a month or two, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, at first I didn't think it was normal to leave the gym feeling great, but they notice that they have more energy and they're actually making more progress. They're getting stronger, you know, and they just see all of these positive improvements and the effect that it has. And so that's what I think the goal of your workouts should always be. It should just be about progress, about doing, you know, just a little better. It's about slowly improving and slowly getting stronger and constantly trying to just build yourself up and be more awesome. Because I mean, if your only goal is getting tired, I mean, for one, that's, I don't know how you keep that motivation to do that. I don't know how you can keep yourself excited to go to the gym. Like, yes, how close can I get to puking today? I mean, I don't see how that's a goal that you can keep, you know, striving after day after day. So, you know, my advice really is just to get out of that fatigue and beating yourself down mindset, and instead thinking about how can you build yourself up and make yourself stronger. And, you know, like I said, that's definitely more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, it's the conundrum of, you know, going in and doing conditioning. Like, yeah, I want to go push the sled, but, you know, when do I really call it quits instead of making it so I can't walk back to the locker room or something like that?
Well, and on that note, I will say that there is a time and a place for challenges. There is, I mean, every now and again in my workouts, I'll come up with kind of a crazy challenge that I know is going to beat me down. But I do that occasionally. You know, sometimes it's fun to mentally and physically challenge yourself, and that's perfectly fine. I just don't think that should be your goal with every workout. You know, how tired and exhausted can I be? Choose your battles, and there is a time and a place to really push your mental toughness and to push your grit. But yeah, that definitely, it's just not an every workout thing.
Again, because I know people will you know, reply with this, but can you give like an example of one of the challenges? Like, again, I love doing stuff like that with my clients sometimes on a Friday night session, like right before the weekend where they're going to have a couple days rest. We might do something that's a little bit more of a challenge, something that, you know, we can get some statistics on, like that is, you know, could have a score associated with it, like, you know, how many reps or how many sets can we do or something in a given amount of time. Can you share like one of the challenges or one or two that you like to use for yourself, just for, you know, fun or when you feel up to it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, definitely one of my favorites is always hill sprints. I mean, anytime you can just challenge yourself to run several as hard as you can all out, I mean, that's brutal in and of itself. Body weight exercises, I think, are tremendous. Anything like burpees, or even like one of my favorites is the advanced burpee, where it's, you know, you go down, drop into a push up, and then you explode up, but you jump up onto a pull up bar and you do a pull up with it. I mean, it's very advanced, but I love those. And a fun challenge would be, how many can I get done in 5 to 10 minutes? I mean, that's just absolutely brutal. Another favorite is, you can do kettlebell swings. I mean, I'll pick a number like 100 reps. How fast can I do 100 reps? Something else I've done, like I said, I'm really liking bodyweight training right now. One that was just, I mean, for me, it was a crazy, crazy challenge. I did 100 push-ups, 100 inverted rows, 50 rear foot elevated split squats on each leg. And then what else was it? 100 back extensions. And I had to do 100 of each before moving on to the next exercise. And it was, how quick can I do those 100 reps? And like I said, that's pretty advanced. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, some people might want to start with just 20 or 30, depending on how many of those you can do. But I mean, that was a fun challenge for me. It's definitely a good way to test your mental toughness as well as your physical strength as well. But there's no shortage of things you can come up with, and they're fun to include every now and again, just to really see what you're capable of doing. But like I said, I use them conservatively.
All right. I think might be where we're going to wrap things up for today. But, you know, again, you got a real wealth of information over at the website, neashanks.com. Do you have any things that you're working on right now that people should keep an eye out for, or anything? We mentioned a couple of recent posts, but anything that people should definitely stay tuned for?
I'm getting ready to release the Train to Be Awesome Guide, hopefully within a few weeks. I don't have the date set just yet, but it kind of goes into a lot about what we discussed today. It's really about approaching training and nutrition and building the body that you want from the perspective of of just trying to become the most awesome and strongest version of yourself, and doing that through strength training and doing that through nutrition, and really just focusing on having a positive mindset. And I'm really excited about it. It's received a lot of great feedback. And like I said, it's all about implementing the tips that I have my clients and stuff focus on when it comes to training everything. So that's going to be out soon. Super, super excited about that for sure.
Very cool. Well, Nia, that's where we're going to leave it for now. Everyone out there, make sure you check out her website. It's got some awesome information on there. Again, if you think you've had any kind of history or you have problems dealing with eating and food and nutrition and all that stuff, she's just got so much great information on there that will definitely help you out. So check it out. And Nia, as always, thank you so much. And we'll definitely have to catch up down the road. I like doing these every couple months and doing like a kind of state of things. Because again, like I said, you keep putting some great stuff up on the website. But we'll definitely be talking to you down the road.
Thank you.
And thank you for dealing with my terrible talking today. Man, that's weird.
I think it's in your head. I think it was in your head. I mean, I didn't notice.
I had a problem putting words together this week. That was just my main focus, but my main issue. But you know, again, as always, thanks everyone for listening to the show. Subscribe on iTunes. Hit us both up on Twitter, twitter.com/KevinLarrabee and twitter.com/NiaShanks. Submit donations if you enjoy the show. That's it. I'm done talking until I get to talk to my kids today. See ya.